Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have started the study right now, and we shall commence. We are one Messiah congregation, Kahacha B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and Shabbat Shalom to everyone. It's nice to be here today on the day of 17th day of Bul, and it's definitely, looks like it's going to rain. I don't think it has been raining. Oh, okay.
So, not today.
Not today, but but anyway, let me move down here. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study in Yeshua's name. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, Master of all things, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for another Shabbat. We always ask you first to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, knowing that you're very aware of everything. Heavenly Father, there's no secrets that are withheld from you. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. I pray you'll prosper this day. Bless everyone with the message. Let everyone understand. Give us more understanding and discernment. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. And may God help us in all our decisions and discernment and understanding. May God reveal to us mysteries and hidden things. May God help us in revelation of his word. And may God prosper us, people that keep your commandments and people that fear you and serve you with all their heart, mind, body, and soul. And Father, we'll go wherever you want us to go to show us. Show us, Lord and God. It's all we need to know. Whether it be on this city or this country, wherever. Whatever you may want us to do. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. Bring people to us and make things of you easily entreated and happen easy. And things that are not of you, Father, make it complicated and make it where it's obstinate and it just can't happen. And I thank God for these fleeces we put out, that you prosper us. And that's what we know, that you're leading and guiding us and directing us in Yeshua's name. And bind every devil away from us and caution us from any evil. And be with us in a special way and help us in our lives and everything we do. May God bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Let's see here. Well, this my mouse is a louse. I can't get it to work, so I'll just have to.
Yeah, I told you I'd switch with you if you want to try it.
Okay, well, this is okay. Today is the last day of the month, October 31st, 2015. We all should know what October means by now. You know, it's just means 8, but it's the actual 10th month, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Jehovah has his own calendar. We bring that into focus. And it's the 17th day of Bul, and of course Bul means rain, and you can find that word in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. And let's see here. Judaism, for some strange reason, they like to call this month Cheshvan or Mar Cheshvan, which is not in the scriptures. Very, it's just made up. My ministry is a teaching ministry, and to bring up topics in the Bible that have never been discussed or mentioned in your life, they have been deleted from your knowledge. Sometimes you haven't even a clue that what you're doing in your life, because everyone follows the leader, whoever the leader may be, and society tries to dictate a lot of our thoughts, you know, unfortunately. But anyway, we'll try to undelete some things for you. For your convenience, all my studies will be back on my server, I hope, shortly. We're trying to figure out where to put it. We could see different things happening that, when certain obstacles occur, we see that, maybe that's not the way to go, because that's been my prayer of when if there's an obstacle, then maybe there's a different direction to go. And I hope
it's
that...
It's pretty obvious most of the time.
Yeah, it gets to be obvious. But anyway, soon enough, you'll be able to read them again, hear them again, watch them again. I am recording them, putting them on this external server down there. We are in, of course, the Pal Talk room. We're not streaming today, obviously.
Right.
Remember, tomorrow, Sunday, known as Sunday, November 1st, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you have to change your clocks back to 1 o'clock.
Ooh.
We fall back. Remember, you fall back. We fall back. We lose an hour.
I know.
We lose an hour.
It's going to be dark.
We lose an hour. We're falling back. So it's no longer 2 o'clock. Oh, we gain an hour.
I've been saying that we gain an hour.
And
that's what I've been
hearing. Wait a minute, that's right.
We get an extra
because
hour.
It's instead of being 2 o'clock, it's going to be 1 o'clock. Oh, that's good.
But then it's dark.
It gets darker sooner. Right.
5 o'clock.
Yeah,
but it's good eventually.
Wow, it'll be dark at almost 5 o'clock starting next Sabbath. Wow.
That's warm.
But anyway, today's topic is the appearance of heavenly things. Praise the Lord.
I like that.
I looked up this word in Hebrew, ra'at. It means to see, look at, inspect, perceive, or consider. And there's something called in the Hebrew grammar, there's the conjugation of verbs, and there's a lot of these different terms, like the qual verb. It means to see, to perceive, to have vision, to look at, to regard, to observe. Means to consider, to give attention to, discern, distinguish, to gaze at. And then there's the niphel, which means to appear, to be seen, which is interesting, to be visible, which is really good. Then we have the puel, to be seen, and the hifel, to cause to see or to show. Then we have the hofel, which is to cause to see, to be shown. And then we have the hithpel, which is to look at each other, like basically face to face. But anyway, I just want you to, you could look at this later on my website or on the study, but some of these words come into focus when you read some of this. The appearance of the Almighty, it shows up in many forms that we can understand, mostly by the word of Jehovah, which is God. The word of Jehovah is God. So we have Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. And there's no, that doesn't sound very complicated, just to see that Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Then we go to, that's Genesis 1:1. Then we go to John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isn't that interesting? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, and every time I read all this, I keep thinking of all the creation evolution websites I listen to every morning when I get up. Some people just don't believe that anymore, and even in the Christian world. They think nothing created everything, or nothing exploded, or they don't believe there's a six-day creation. They think there's thousands or billions of years between each day, and there's billions of years between verse 1 and verse 2, the gap theory, which is nonsense and totally insane doctrine, when we could just simply read the Bible and just say, hey, that's what it says. And the word yom, you could look that up, and it means day, and it means a lot of things, but there's six-day creation. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, which is really important. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, just like it did back in Genesis, and the darkness comprehends it not. Of course not. Now, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that's the Messiah, of course, that all men through him might believe. John was not the light, he's the forerunner, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Now, this is very, very good verse right here, because the Word of God was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Think of that verse. He actually made something that He could be in, and He made a form that He could show up in. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, that's the Jews, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And here it is again, the Word was made flesh. So that Word that was in the beginning with God became flesh at a certain point in time, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you know, this Word was God, right?
Yes,
we read that
yes,
a few minutes ago.
Yes.
John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he The Word was before me, and of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. The Torah was given by God to Moses, and grace and truth came by Yeshua the Messiah. That word but is really and. And then John goes into, make sure you understand, no man had seen God in His fullness at any time. But the only begotten Son, which is the Word, which is in the bosom of the Father, that Word declared Him, He declared the Father. Amen. So that's really important. Then I went to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it's supposed to be without controversy, but of course on the internet and in the world is much controversy, the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. Would you please get me a little water, please? Thank you. And then we go to Isaiah chapter 7:14 to prove where it comes from. Therefore, Jehovah Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Thank you. That's 7:14, which also correlates to Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall call, and shall bring forth a son, that they may call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's what that means in Hebrew.
Amen.
So there we have this God appearing in a body form, you know, at a certain time in life. Then we have, of course, Jehovah appeared. Vayera, Yehovah. And Jehovah appears unto Samuel, we see.
Mm.
And I always wonder, you know, when we see Jehovah appearing to someone, then He's speaking, it's obviously in some form. Just like I did that study way back many years ago about the Word of the Lord coming to everyone and speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just little words flying in space
or
a little mouth
sure
coming
that.
At you, but it's the Word of the Lord in some form. Right.
Okay.
Same thing when Jehovah appears again in Shiloh. For Jehovah revealed Himself to Samuel. This is 1 Samuel 3:21. Jehovah revealed Himself to Samuel, Shmuel, in Shiloh by the word of Jehovah. That's how Jehovah appeared in Shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
And He showed up by the word of the Lord. You see that?
Yes,
so it's obviously some form of God that speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Jehovah appearing unto Abraham in Genesis 12. We're going to start with Genesis,
mm-hmm.
chapter 12, verse 1. It says, Now Jehovah had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Sometimes you got to do that. And from the house, from my father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you, Abraham. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because that through the lineage of Abraham, Messiah, would come eventually. So Abraham departed, as Jehovah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So don't think you're too old yet. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance and that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Verse 6, And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And Jehovah appeared unto Abraham and said, So here we have Jehovah appearing, and He's speaking. And He said, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and there build an altar unto Jehovah who appeared unto him.
Lord.
Doesn't that sound like a plurality of God?
Lord
Because Jehovah appeared unto Abraham, I will give this land, and there built he an altar unto Jehovah who appeared unto him.
Yeah.
So it's like Jehovah's, you know, it's just amazing. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel, And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto Yehovah and called upon the name of Yehovah. Then we go to Genesis 17:1. And when Abraham was, so that was when he was 75. Yep. And now when he's 99, Yehovah appears to Abraham again. And said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. So God wants you to be perfect, huh? Walk before me and be perfect. And we know how to be perfect, right? That's perfect in God's commandments and his laws. Genesis 18:1, and Jehovah appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So there we have Jehovah appearing again. Amazing. So that's so Jehovah appeared to him already. Now Jehovah is going to appear to Isaac in Genesis 26. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And Jehovah appeared unto him and said, here's Jehovah appearing and saying, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. So he sojourned in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So this blessing is being, reciprocated down the line here, you know. And it says, and I will bless thy seed, which is us, we're part of the seed, to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed again. And that's through the Messiah. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And you could read the rest, but I wanted to show you how God does show up and appear. And he might show up to you in a dream or a vision. You know?
That's before Moses.
Huh?
Now to keep his commandments and his statutes and his laws before Moses. Absolutely.
And he was perfect.
Mm-hmm. So he had to do something.
Genesis. You know what they were. Now that was, so Abraham, Isaac, so far. Here's Jacob when Jehovah appears unto him. And God, Elohim, said unto Jacob, arise, go unto Bethel and dwell there and make thee an altar unto God. So God's telling him to go make an altar unto God. What do you think of that? That's Genesis 35:1. You see that? God is telling him to go make an altar unto God.
We can't see it. Yeah, there we are.
It does say that, right?
Yes.
It says, go make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you. Isn't that weird? Because it's not like, go make, I'm God, make, go, you know, the one to the God that appeared unto you. When thou feedest them from the, you know, fleest from the face of Esau thy brother. So that's a plurality of God right there. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. That's really important advice for every one of us too. I don't think any of us here have other gods. I hope not. That would be terrible. Let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God. I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. Could you imagine that? I know, that's horrible. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because their God,
the house of God,
yeah, that's God, the house of God. That's their God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we need God to appear unto us and show us which way to go and what to do and speak unto us. But Devorah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bachuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, Yaakov, but Yisrael shall thy name be. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I give Abraham, Isaac, I to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. That always makes me feel like, Yeah, it always gives me a feeling like we got some land in Israel there that's deeded to us by God, no matter what anybody says. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Amen. God went up from, isn't that amazing? God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So here we have God actually talking to him, some form, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, another form.
And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. So that means he was actually in this certain place that he went and made he was right there. I mean, God in some form.
I would put
something there too. This is where God showed up. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake unto him, Bethel, house of God. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? God shows up in a form, and he appears. I mean, you know, just like that. Genesis 48.
What would happen if we probably just fall down. Genesis
48. 48:1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph. So we see God showed up to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him to his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph comes unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon his bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me. He's a witness, Jacob, Israel, at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people. God's going to have so many different people. And I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. So we definitely have a possession there. Be hard to claim, but I mean, you know, we definitely do.
Nice to know.
It's good to know.
Well, God gave us the land, you know. We got to figure out one day how to go there and visit it again.
Yeah.
God appears unto Moses in Exodus, of course. Exodus 3:1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father, in-law, the priest of Midian, and he fed the flock to the He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So we got Horeb being the mountain of God. That's Exodus 3:1. And the angel of Yehovah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And sometimes this angel, this messenger of God, is also the word of the Lord, which is God in another form. And the angel, the messenger of Yehovah, appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.
Yeah, I bet.
And when Yehovah, listen to this verse 4. And when Yehovah saw that he turned aside to see, so he's turning aside to see. So Jehovah's looking that, you know, he saw that Moses turned aside to see. God, he says, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Is that a plurality of God? Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Jehovah saw him and God called him.
Yeah, Jehovah saw him and God called him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And Jehovah hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So there we have this angel, which is really God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Exodus 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, Jehovah had not appeared unto you. And Jehovah said unto him, so Jehovah obviously appeared unto Moses. Mm-hmm. Actually, Jehovah spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, mm-hmm. and in another form that we can't imagine. That must have been just amazing.
Yes.
And Jehovah said unto him, What is in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And this is an actual serpent.
Yes.
And Moses fled from before it. And Jehovah said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail.
Well, that's how you know it's a serpent.
Yeah.
He's taking it by the tail.
And he put forth his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that Jehovah, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had appeared unto you. So the same God that appeared unto them appeared unto you now, many years later. Exodus 6, verse 1. And Jehovah said unto Moses, here's again, every time you see this, Yehovah's in a form speaking to Moses. Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Mm-hmm. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yehovah. In other words, we're one. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by the name of Jehovah was I not known unto them? Of course I was. That's a question mark you should put there. And I have also established my covenant with them, because they knew me, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. So God was known, Yehovah was known to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Right?
Mm-hmm. He was.
Chapter 6, Exodus 16, verse 10. Now we see also the glory of Yehovah appear sometimes in the cloud. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation, the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory, the kavod of Yehovah appeared in the cloud. Leviticus 9:4, this is going to go pretty quick. I don't know if you can catch up with me. Leviticus 9:4, it says, also take a bullock and a ram for a peace offering to sacrifice unto Yehovah, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today Yehovah will appear unto you.
He got a warning that time.
And Moses said, this is the thing which Jehovah commanded that you should do, that the glory of Jehovah shall appear unto you. And Moses, verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of Jehovah appeared unto all the people. See, here we have God actually being with his people. And I guess God is with us the same way if we just recognize it, you know. That's what I'm trying to think about. I'm thinking about God should lead us, guide us, and direct us.
There's
no respect of persons. If we keep his commandments, God should lead us. You know, we always say lead, guide, and direct us, like so freely. But we're really asking the God of the universe to lead, guide, and direct us. And we hope he really is. Sometimes we start doing things, we might end up in a place we're not really thinking about going, or why are we there, or what are we doing, or who knows? We might be thinking of going one place, we might end up another place. We might end up somewhere else. So I can't say at the moment. Leviticus 16. Sisters, quiet please. Leviticus 16. And Yehovah spoke unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered strength unto Jehovah and died. You got people here doing strange offerings, offering strange incense, fire unto Jehovah. They died. And Jehovah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. There it is. He's going to appear on the covering there. Deuteronomy 31:15, and Jehovah appeared in the tabernacle in the pillar of the cloud, pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. I'm always interested to know about that cloud, because it says so many places in the Bible, he comes with clouds.
Yeah.
And every eye is going to see him, you know.
We like the clouds.
Yeah, we like the clouds, because the clouds, it also said the clouds are the dust of his feet.
That's right.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah. Jehovah appears to Solomon, which is very sad.
That's insane.
In 1 Kings 3:5, in Gideon, Jehovah appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And then we have 1 Kings 9:2, Jehovah appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gideon. And then we have in Chronicles, it sort of recites the same type of thing, 2 Chronicles 3:1. Solomon began to build the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where Jehovah appeared unto David. So we have Jehovah even appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite.
That's right. That's when they come to the people.
So even Jehovah appears unto David and speaks to him. Wow. It gives me the chills when I read this. I don't know. I don't know about you. I just get like, wow.
Amazing.
And then we have 1 Kings 11:9. Jehovah was angry with Solomon. You know why? Because his heart was turned from Jehovah, God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice.
Yeah.
That's 1 Kings 11:9.
Can't imagine.
God makes sure that he shows you that he does appear and you have no excuse.
Absolutely.
And God could show up in another form. He could even show up in your mind as a really a strong thought. You better recognize. Mm-hmm. Psalm 102:16. When Jehovah shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. David says, amen. That's Psalm 102:16. And then we have Isaiah 66:5. Hear the word of Jehovah, ye that tremble at his word. Whoa. Ooh.
Isaiah what?
66:5. So everyone that trembles at his word, which is God, he wants you to hear the word of Jehovah.
Yes.
Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, and said, let Jehovah be glorified, then he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So anyone that comes against people that of God, you're going to see them come to shambles.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come to naught. They will.
Well,
yes.
Brother Jeremiah said in chapter 31, verse 1, at that time, saith Jehovah, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Jehovah, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Jehovah had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. God tells Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 5. And I'm not going to read all these to you, but you got to read a whole chapter 1 of Ezekiel about all these appearances, you know, these appearances,
yes,
like the appearance of a man, and there was an appearance of burning coals of fire. Appearance of lamps, living creatures, which we have no idea what they are, and there's appearance of creatures, living creatures, whatever they are, the appearance of a flash of lightning, the appearance of wheels, appearance of their work, as it were, in the wheel, in the middle of a wheel, whatever that means.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, verse 26, there was the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne. The appearance of sapphire stone upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness, the appearance of a man above upon it. Wow, upon the throne. There was he saw all these different colors, you know, amber and all these different, the appearance of fire. The appearance of his loins were eastward, of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins were even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire as it had brightness round about. And then he sums everything up, you know, all these appearances and all this stuff he's looking at. as the appearance of the bow, the rainbow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. And then he says, tells you right out, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yehovah. And here's what you do, Louise, when you see it. And when he saw it, he fell upon his face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke to me, that spoke. Praise the Lord. So you can read all that. So the appearance of God is probably more around than we can imagine. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And this is John the Baptist. And Jehovah, whom you seek, or Yeshua, the Messiah, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. This is the word of the Lord. This is prophesied in Malachi. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith Yehovah Tzavaot. But then he makes sure you know, but who shall abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like full of soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, and they that they may offer unto Jehovah an offering in righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. The glory of Yehovah appears to so many times. You know what I notice about the glory of God? Most of the time when the glory of God shows up, sometimes when sin needs to be reproved and something's going on. In Exodus 16:10, you guys know that it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yehovah appeared in a cloud. God is starting to get mad at the people because of their murmurings. Leviticus 9:23, Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of Yehovah appeared unto all the people. We have Numbers 14:10, but all the congregation, they wanted to stone them with stones, and the glory of Yehovah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. I wonder what that looked like. That must have been an amazing, awesome, terrible sight. Because we have Numbers 16:19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He thought he was going to get over on everybody. And the glory of Yehovah appeared unto all the congregation. Wow, because you know what happened to Korah and Dathan and Abiram, right? Oh, and it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses, they came against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, guess what? The cloud covered it, and the glory of Yehovah appeared. That's pretty powerful right there. Numbers 26. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, of course, and the glory of Yehovah appeared unto them. It's pretty amazing. If you look, you can read a lot of chapters about the glory of God showing up, and sometimes it's, most of the time, it looks like it's when something has to happen, when the people are murmuring. And I was talking earlier about the angel of Yehovah, Vayirah Malach, Yehovah, the angel of Yehovah appears. So sometimes the angel of Yehovah is the word of Yehovah, which is God. And I read that whole thing to you in Exodus 3 about when Moses, you know, he saw out of the flaming fire there. Exodus 3, you know, 1, 2, and 3, I think it is. And that was God, and even though it said an angel. In Judges 6:12, the angel of Yehovah appeared unto him and said unto him, Jehovah is with you, you mighty man of valor, Gideon. Could you imagine this show?
Feel like a mighty man of valor.
I bet he didn't feel too mighty, but he felt frightened. Judges 13, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of Yehovah, and Jehovah delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Nice. That's what scares me about time. You know, it's been like almost 2,000 years since Jehovah left the earth. And it makes me wonder, God could put us in a time span where he's just very upset at mankind until he shows up again at a certain time. Isn't that, over here, it took 40 years. It says, and there was a certain man of Zohar, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel, the messenger of Yehovah, the angel means messenger, by the way, messenger of Yehovah appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now you are barren and you bear not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So we all know that was the word, a messenger of God, which is the word of the Lord. In Matthew 1:20, go to the Gospel of Matthew.
You didn't mention Joshua, right?
I didn't mention Joshua, but Joshua shows up also, appears as the captain of the Lord's host, and Joshua just falls down on his face, because you can't really do too much when the word of the Lord shows up. I don't know what you do.
Yeah,
you just crumble, I guess. I always think you just melt as a blob, you know, blob on the floor.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what it would feel like anyway.
But in Matthew 1:20, I mean, I'm just giving some instances where God shows up and appears and talks, and it sort of lends itself to the other study I did about the word of the Lord that shows up everywhere and talks to everyone in some body form, some manifestation of God. Yeah. But here we have in Matthew 1:20, Joseph was thinking on these things, and the angel, the messenger of Jehovah, appeared unto him in a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Saint Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Miriam, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Matthew 2:13, and when they were departed, behold, the messenger, the angel of Jehovah, appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, this is years later after he's born, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring you word. Bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of Jehovah appeared in a dream unto Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.
Where was that?
That's this is verse 20. 19 and 20.
He spoke to Solomon twice in a dream also.
Yeah, I read that before. Were you listening? Make sure you're listening. But he shows up sometimes. God shows up sometimes in dreams too. So, you know, I guess, and God will show up in dreams, and I guess you'll remember those dreams.
Yeah,
pretty sure.
Yes, it would be.
You know, I noticed in Daniel, there's the man. It's called the man. He's masculine, I guess. I guess the masculine gender, if there's such a thing. But he's also an angel. Gabriel appears. Daniel 9:21, while Daniel was speaking in prayer, and that's what you do in prayer, you speak to God, right? You don't chant different prayer books, and you don't chant different prayers of somebody else. You speak to God in prayers. Even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. So Gabriel flies.
Yeah, there's just...
He touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And then we have this Gabriel shows up in Luke, many, many years later from Daniel. 1:19, the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel. Isn't that amazing? These immortal beings that are just, there's no time with them, you know.
They're there forever.
They're just immortal.
Yeah.
Here he shows up many years later. He says, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto you and to show you glad tidings. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of... He was sent to Galilee, named a city called Nazareth. And then we have this other angel, Michael. He's called your prince, shows up. Michael, Michael, means... Who is like God? Because we sing that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one who stands in times of trouble, Michael. Daniel 10:13, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is Iran, stood withstood me 120 days, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the prince of Persia. The kings of Persia. And then in verse 21 it says, but I'll show thee that which stood in the, I'll show thee what which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that withholdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Isn't that interesting? He's called a prince.
Prince, chief of princes.
Yeah, in Daniel 12:1, he also says the same thing. At that, this is 12:1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. Wow, he must be like, woo. And there shall be a time of trouble, which such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. The only the ones and everyone that shall be found written in the book.
Yeah.
And we have to make sure our names are written in the book.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Beautiful verse.
Yeah.
And then we have that same Michael that I talked about in the last few verses in Revelation. He shows up many, many years later because he's immortal. And he shows up in the kingdom of heaven. There's a little history there, which we have to, one day I'd like to see a movie on this. Because 12:7 says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Amen. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. There's never going to be another devil in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. That's what's scary. And we're living here in the end when we can see he's deceiving the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. He's right down here. And his angels were cast out with him. They're cast out. And a lot of them are in everlasting chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment of the great day. Yeshua went and preached to the spirits that are in prison. Then we see some other heavenly beings show up, which we don't know really what it is, in Daniel 4:13. He says, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. There was a watcher, someone watching, and a holy one came down from heaven. Really?
Cool.
And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, you, the great tree, and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. Yes, it's Nebuchadnezzar's punishment. But a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven, commissioned by God. Wow. Just think of all the...
Huh? It sounds like a guardian angel, a watcher.
Yeah, a watcher. A watcher.
Wow,
spiritual beings that we have no idea in a spiritual realm, just not far from us. Probably right over here somewhere.
Right here. Yeah. It's a good place right now. They're probably gathered all
Then we have in Mark 16:12, we have even Yeshua after he rose from the dead. After he met those two people on the way to... What was the city?
Emmaus.
After he said, Messiah Yeshua appeared in another form unto them as they walked and went into the country. Isn't it amazing? He just appears when he wants to. He could appear anywhere in another form, whatever form that may be. Because Job says all the time in chapter 9, verse 11, Job says, lo, he, the word of God, goes by me and I see him not. God, the word of God, I see him not. God, he, God, passes also by me, and I perceive him not. That's Job 9:11. Very, very interesting verse. You never know when God's walking by you or watching you. He might be the watcher.
He's always watching.
It's like,
that's why it's really important not to have any secrets or anything just sneaking around or any kind of little sneaky thing. I'm so happy that I feel clean of that.
Yes.
I hope you do too.
Yes.
Matthew 24:25 says, behold, I have told you before. This is really something that we should all take note of. He's told us before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, the Messiah is in the desert. Don't go there.
Matthew.
He's in the seat. This is Matthew 24, verse 25 and 26. If they tell you he's in the secret chambers, don't believe it. Here's how you're going to know about the Messiah. For as we know, Messiah showed up in so many places in Scripture, he's going to show up again in someone's lifetime in a different way. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Word of God, God himself, the Son of Man, be. And we know wherever the carcass is, that dead body that's on the earth, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Yeah.
Immediately, there's definitely going to be tribulations in the last times. After those days, immediately after the tribulation, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. You know why? Because then shall appear the appearance, probably the last appearance on this earth. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the, all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn because they all rejected him. You know why? They're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Yeah.
That's the last appearing on this planet.
The memorial of blowing the trumpets.
The memorial of blowing the trumpets. You better get ready when the trumpet sounds and the Messiah, you better be atoned if you want a tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. And this is a little study about the appearance of God and the appearance of God in the future. Not little, but you know what I mean. Sorry, I don't mean little. But it's a very good study. And I say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. And I do want to say one other thing. Of course, once upon a time, Halloween was banned. Unfortunately, Halloween was not celebrated in our country here until 1845. Unfortunately, all the stores are all beyond set up now because tomorrow's Halloween, right?
It'll all be on sale.
157
tonight.
Yeah. So tonight after the Sabbath, we gotta shut all the blinds and shut all the lights. 157 million Americans will celebrate Halloween this year, according to they have statistics on that and data. Isn't that crazy?
Of course. Sales.
You guys all know about Halloween was and is a popular pagan festival of the dead. And that name Samhain, which that's where it comes from, the ancient Celtics celebrated New Year's on November 1st, which is tomorrow. They believe that the souls of the dead return to earth the night before.
Yep. They had to scare them off.
That's really what Halloween's all about.
Yes, it is.
Samhain is the Gaelic.
Them off every day.
It's Gaelic for summer's end, a day to bid goodbye to warm and light as day.
The other angel do that.
Are you guys listening?
Yes.
Did you hear what I just said? No.
Just read it.
Please concentrate. Samhain is Gaelic for the summer's end, a day to bid goodbye to warm and light as the day length shortens. We're going to shorten.
This time it's going to shorten it.
Shorten it tonight, right. In an attempt to replace this festival, the Catholic Church removed the celebration of All Saints to November 1st. So tomorrow is the pagan All Saints Day. This is the day when all the saints are honored, especially those who did not have a day of their own.
You mean the Catholics and the
Isn't that
the
sick? Catholic.
A day of their own.
The real Catholic saints devils. Every day.
Catholic fraudulent
devils.
Saints.
The Catholic devils at night.
This was formerly known as All Hallows Mass, hollow meaning holy or holy person. All Hallows Mass. All Saints Day is known in England. It's known in England as All Hallows Day. Isn't that weird? The evening before October 31st is known as All Hallows Eve. That's tonight. The origin of the American word Halloween.
It could be me.
Let me see if I'm still on the mic.
Because it could be me.
I don't want anybody to miss this.
Yeah.
I'm still on the mic as far as I know.
Okay, it's probably me.
Anyway.
Often
overshadowing the 2 days preceding it, Halloween, October 31st, and All Saints Day is November 1st. November 2nd, All Souls Day, is a solemn feast in the Roman Catholic Church commemorating all those who have died. Now and are in purgatory. This is all made up.
Fake purgatory.
Purgatory started by Judaism. Being cleansed of their venial sins and the temporary punishments for the... They get forgiven for their temporary punishments for mortal sins that they have confessed and atoning before entering fully into heaven.
They wish.
What a made-up story that is.
It's over.
The importance of All Souls Day was made clear by Pope Benedict the 15th in 1914-22, when he granted all priests the privilege of celebrating three masses on All Souls Day. Wow. One for the faithfully departed, one for the priest's intentions, and one for the intentions of the Holy Father. Only on a handful of other very important feast days are priests allowed to celebrate more than two masses. That's so ridiculous.
Who cares? We don't care.
It's all pagan. Yeah. Anyway. National Retail Federation on Halloween. Total spending will be $6.9 billion. They spent it already. And everything will be on sale.
They'll keep spending tomorrow because it'll be on sale.
All the candy and the costumes will be on sale for the next pagan.
So they'll be spending tomorrow.
It's clear that Halloween was always a pagan celebration of death. You know why? Because you see a lot of tombstones, right? Decorated.
Oh, yeah.
You see a lot of tombstones decorated and all kinds of evil stuff.
Lit up.
Anyway, it's 'tis the season to be pagan. It's all around us. I always try to remind everybody, beware of the false image of love that people try to say. It's just, I heard a man say the other day, I said, we don't do Halloween. He goes, I don't either. It's just for the children. They always say it's for the children. Watch out for the false image of love, false emotions, loneliness, depression, financial drain, suicide, and the artificial false festival lights that they put up. Satan really sets the stage. Really, really does. He puts over all these lights.
He makes a big time.
Beware if you hear a voice or you feel anything that tells you to separate yourself from the congregation. Go off on your own, read, or whatever. Because Satan tries to do that all the time. Some pagan religions have classes at their facilities already to address all these false issues of depression. They have that on their billboards.
Yeah.
But anyway, so beware of the false image of love, false feelings and emotions, false. Just think, these pagan holidays really don't exist. They're really non-existent.
They're false.
So you shouldn't have depression or loneliness or suicide feelings or
debt.
And then after this, of course, we have to get ready for the pagan Xmas, which was also banned until 1659 in America. Anyway, that's the end of my study. And after today's Sabbath, I guess they'll be having the whole crazy world here will be doing that. And they always try to say it's just for the children, which is why would you want to lie to your children? The Bible tells us to teach our children about the Word of God and the commandments of God. And you never know when God might appear to you. So I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom, and may God be with you, and may God bless you, and may God protect you in this night, which is Satan's going to have a ball out there, and protect wherever you're going to end up. Be careful driving, because you never know. Satan is out there. Very interesting night not to travel, but... Anyway, whatever you may be, may God put a wall of fire around and about you, and may God bless you. May God bless you the rest of your Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I hope you got something out of this message, and may God be with you. Let me stop the video.
I hope it was. Yes.
Yeah, really.
Okay, and then I'll stop the. Stop the recording. Okay. I hope the video got.